So hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with me, Stephen. Now, earlier this year, Singapore's Minister for Health, Ong Ye Kung, said that private health insurers and private hospitals have got themselves tied in a knot. Insurers know that people worry about getting hit with large, unexpected hospital bills, so they launch products with, you know, really generous coverage, including riders that protect you almost down to the last dollar. And when someone else is footing the bill, well, we're generally more likely to say yes to all the extra tests and treatments. After all, why not, right? I mean, insurance is paying for it. But then over time, all that adds up. Healthcare costs rise and inevitably, so do premiums. So the minister said that MOH will help facilitate untying the knot. How exactly does it plan to do so? What happens if, to use his words, the knot isn't untied? Well, to answer those questions, I have the man himself with me today, Minister Ong Ye Kung. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
So, you know, Minister, I got to ask you, this knot we're talking about, really, give us the broad base. What does it actually mean?
Well, you kind of explained it in your introduction.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you actually explained it quite well. I think let's not blame each other. Okay, there are so many players. There's the government, there's the insurance company, there are doctors, there are patients, there are insurance agents. Everyone with unknowingly entered into this field and then got themselves tied in a big bundle.
Okay.
Yeah. And as you described, I think it probably started with insurers competing with each other and saying, how do I get more market share? So I come up with riders, wonderful riders who say, I cover you, absolute peace of mind. You know, you go to a private hospital, we cover almost everything, down to the last dollar.
It was this whole one up.
Yeah, one up. And in the end, you try to get market share, but as a result, you are they come up with riders, but especially riders that are too generous. Okay. And you cover so much, then you lost the discipline of healthcare. Between doctors and patients, it's very natural, as you say. Somebody's out footing the bill. I already pay my premiums. Mm-hmm. So why not just take a few more precautions, have a few more tests? You know, nobody's really trying to cheat or abuse, but it's just very natural. Somebody else paying the bill already. So let's do a bit more. How about stay one more night? You know, things like that start to happen. So today you can see in our data, someone with riders is 1.5 times more likely to claim than someone without. And after you claim, the bill is 1.5 times higher than someone without.
Okay.
So it's 1.5 times 1.5. So essentially, if you have a rider, your claims on average is more than 2 times from someone without a rider. So, and when the claims go up like that, insurers actually on their health portfolio, they're not making money. They are barely breaking even or making losses. So what do? You raise premium.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do things. You raise premium and then consumers have a shock. 20% increase in rider premium every year. How can it be? Second thing insurers do, which really irks the doctors, is they put in safeguards. Panel. You can claim only if you go to this panel and ask you all kinds of questions. Doctors get asked all kinds of questions. Some to them is like, unreasonable question. Why can't you ask me this? These are my clinical judgment. So it irritated the doctors. But at the same time, insurers feel this is necessary.
But that's the way the insurance companies are trying to control the rising cost from doctors.
Yeah.
So, okay, but then it comes back to it. To the average person who's buying the insurance, he'll say, the insurance is there for a reason, to give me that peace of mind. I want to know that if anything happens, I can find the best doctor, the best treatment, and not worry about getting it because the costs are covered.
Mm.
So what would you say to those people? They're saying,
totally reasonable, right? Don't we all wish to have that, right? But the problem with this market is that in the end, it creates a distortion that is not in their interest, because that desire to have the absolute peace of mind resulted in riders that are very generous, resulted in over-servicing unnecessary treatment, resulted in higher premiums and all these safeguards. And the consumers now find that because of my desire to do this and the market supplied me with this, now we have a situation of escalating premiums that I don't really want to pay. You know, last year, 100,000 people either dropped their rider or downgrade their rider, which means you desire to have this, but in the end, you find that it's not worth it.
But there may be another 100,000 who bought the rider because now they're worried about the increasing cost and want to be fully covered.
And they are young. Yeah, so the irony is this. The market have stopped responding to people's needs. People do have a genuine need, but the market is not responding. So young, probably not us, people younger in their 30s, probably want the absolute peace of mind. They look at rider premium, it's affordable, a few hundred dollars. So they buy it, but they rarely fall sick. when's the last time you went to a hospital?
So isn't that good? So
that's very good, but it means you are paying premium, but you're not claiming, right? But only when you're growing old and you're starting to go hospital, then your premiums start to go up.
Okay.
And if you're in your 70s, the premium is almost $10,000. If you're in your 80s and you really need the coverage, the premium crosses $10,000.
Yep.
That's when they drop. So it's not quite serving the purpose anymore.
Are these people overinsured? I mean, how do I know exactly how much insurance I should be getting? So I want some of the comforts.
Mm.
I want to be able to choose my doctors, which means those things are not covered if I go to a public hospital on the basic, you know, coverage.
So there's a market for that in the private sector.
Yeah.
A public sector subsidized market, that's a totally different market.
Okay.
You only need MediShield Life.
Mm.
You don't need integrated Shield Plan. You don't need riders. But for the private market, you use the word overinsured. I would say that desire to have absolute peace of mind has caused a distortion in the market such that it may not be worth it anymore. Absolute peace of mind has become too expensive because the premiums keep rising. 100,000 people drop, most of them owe when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite serving the market. Yeah, that's the knot we are in.
Whose fault is that? Is that my fault as a consumer or the insurance company? Because in a way, if I want a rider,
it's a very good question.
I don't have a choice in terms of what tier I can buy.
It's a very good question. I don't want to assign whose fault. It's just a situation we got ourselves caught in.
Uh-huh.
You know the Chinese story about the tiger and the bell?
I don't know.
解铃还要系铃人.
Because I only know arboling.
Yeah. So, monk
asked
his disciples, there's this tiger. It has a bell around its neck.
Okay.
Tell me, how do you untie the bell from the tiger's neck? Then the disciples come up with all kinds of ideas. You know, tranquilize, kill the tiger, this and that. But in the end, someone a bit more wise say, go look for the guy who tied the bell.
Okay.
He will be the guy who knows how to untie the bell. Okay. So I think who tied the bell on this tiger's neck, and I think it's everybody. We have unknowingly got ourselves into this position, as I mentioned. Competition, which is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Competition led to riders that are too generous. Because it's too generous, doctors and patients naturally will come up with higher hospital bills. Very natural human instinct. And as a result, insurers, no choice, have to raise premiums. Yeah. And so doctors, patients, insurers, insurance agents start to sell all these riders to say, you want absolute peace of mind, I got a product for you.
Right.
You know? So everybody just got ourselves into this.
So it's not a question
If we want to untie this bell, it requires everyone to take a step back and do our part.
Okay. But so what you're saying is not that there shouldn't be riders at all.
Yeah. No,
there can be, right? But it's just that now we've taken it to the extreme.
We take it to the extreme such that it's not worth it anymore. The scheme has collapsed on itself.
Okay.
When 100,000 people either drop out or give up their rider scheme, something's wrong with the product.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not sustainable.
So what should we do then? How can we untie this knot? How can we fix this issue and still give the peace of mind that people
I think
want?
First, don't blame each other.
Okay.
Don't blame each other. Do what is necessary to untie it. I think the first thing we will encourage insurers to do, come out with alternatives. And many of them do have.
Yeah.
You take, for example, a rider that cover almost to the last dollar of your private hospital bill. If you just say, I don't cover the deductibles. Yeah, deductibles means every time you get a private hospital bill, there's this portion called deductibles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time we get into a traffic accident.
That's right.
Right. There's also deductibles. You pay that amount, minimum amount first, the rest you claim. If you don't cover that, usually the premium can be 30% lower.
Okay.
40% lower. Yeah, significantly lower, you know, because you weed out all the small bills and there's greater discipline in claiming. Yeah, just take a step back and premiums come down and you're still protected against the big schemes. And you think about it, how much is deductibles? $3,500.
Right.
How much is your premium if you're 70 years old? $10,000.
So right now you're saying in a way some of us can claim everything. I don't
claim everything, but I'm paying $10,000 of premium a year if I'm 70 years old.
Okay, whereas if I had to pay the first 5,000 or
3,500, my premium drops.
Then I'll probably think a bit more carefully about how I also use
And I save a lot on premium.
Right.
The money I pay on premium, if I need to go to the hospital, use it to pay the deductibles. It's more worth it.
Okay.
It becomes more worth it.
I guess the concern is that very often for people who get the riders, they want the option to visit a private hospital because there are shorter waiting times, access to certain specialists. And again, if these people all, let's say, downsize their policies and end up coming to the public healthcare system, that's also going to be an overload, right? Because we already have a shortage of beds. There's a long waiting time.
I would say the problem is now the other way around, right? Because there is a group of patients, they prefer private and they don't mind buying private insurance and cover themselves. But today, because the premium is so high, and the hospital bills in the private sector is going up so fast, much faster than public sector. Mm-hmm. They find it not worth it. It's too expensive. So they end up in public healthcare. So actually, because of rider issue and the escalating cost is largely a private hospital problem, a private healthcare problem. But I think it indirectly affects public healthcare in the sense that more people are now coming over.
So there's already load, an extra load on the public
because
healthcare.
It's too expensive. Because the bill sizes are too big, premiums too high, they come over to
so
public.
So would you say ideally we should be able to share the load between the private and public?
It's a good thing.
Right?
Yeah, we call it a gradient.
Yeah.
We call it a gradient. Depending on your affordability, there's expensive private, there's less expensive, more affordable private, and then public healthcare class A, B, B1, B2, okay. C class, you know.
But some looking in will also say, in Singapore, your healthcare costs are actually still quite low compared to the many other countries.
After subsidy.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Healthcare costs is not low. It's quite costly to deliver healthcare, but we make sure there are different layers of help, starting with subsidy. Then you can claim your national insurance, which is MediShield Life. Then remainder, you can use your MediSave. If there's still some cash and you can't afford that, you can apply for MediFund.
So there are these options for different folks. I mean, because some would say that in other parts of the world, you could be paying, you know, almost as an individual, even $1,000 a month for just for medical insurance, you know, to make sure you get the coverage you need. So comparatively, we are not that expensive. But is there the concern that if we continue in this pathway, that eventually we'll be there?
Well, expensive, there are two definitions.
Okay.
To the nation and to the patient. To the nation, actually, is going up a lot because we are aging and there are more patients that needed healthcare. When I joined politics, 2015, healthcare budget was about $9 billion. Third largest ministry in Singapore based on budget. Today is $21 billion. 2025, after 10 years, slightly over 10 years. So the increase is quite significant.
But for people, they'll be looking at personal costs. Yeah.
They'll look at personal costs. And personal costs can be kept affordable because we subsidize, we cover by MediShield Life, we allow the remainder to be paid for by MediSave. And for the lower income, we use MediFund to help them. So it can still be kept affordable. But the cost to the nation is actually high. That has to come from somewhere, through taxation and through charity and other help.
So in other words, what we want to, I guess, remind people is that we can keep subsidizing, but it just means healthcare costs from the government will go up and eventually somebody else has to pay that bill, which is the rest of the people in the country, the taxpayers, right?
So it's not a bad system to say that government expenditure is incurred only when we subsidize, right? And subsidy only happen in public hospital.
Okay.
So if there's private hospital that people are prepared to pay a bit more for private insurance and then go for private hospital treatment, it's not a bad thing. It share the healthcare load with the public sector. So private and public working together. But today, I think because of the distortion caused by rider, private hospital is getting more and more expensive. Yeah. So I think one way to unwind and untie this knot, I mentioned earlier, insurers should come up with alternate products that is lower tier, they don't cover up to the last dollar, don't cover deductibles, for example, have more co-payment, then there's discipline in the system.
Right.
When there's discipline in terms of what is your healthcare needs and what should I deliver to you as a clinician, then I think private healthcare costs will come down. Premiums, there will be a dampening effect on premiums. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then people will find that it's more worth it. Say you go for a knee replacement in a public hospital, A-class ward, which is what I went for. The bill, roughly about $27,000. Yeah. So first payment is by, so it's class A, no subsidy. Mm-hmm. So first payment is by MediShield Life. Yeah. You pay about $3,000. Yeah. Not a small proportion of the whole bill because it's class A ward. How much premium do you pay if you are, say, 70-year-old? $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So $1,000 of premium paid for MediShield Life, pay out $3,000 when you go for knee replacement. Claim to premium ratio, about 3-to-1. Yeah. Then on top of that, you bought a private insurance, what we call Integrated Shield Plan. What is your premium? About $4,000 mm-hmm. when you are 70 years old. The payout is about, say, $18,000. Claim to premium ratio, 18 divided by 4, is about 4 point something.
Yeah.
It's also not bad. Mm-hmm. Then the rider comes in. How much premium do you pay for a rider at that age? $9,000 a year.
Mm.
Yeah. What is your payout? $5,000.
Okay. Yeah.
So what is the claim to premium ratio? 5 over 9. It's actually barely over 0.5. So just think about it. Rider premium is so expensive, it's not quite worth it for many people. So I would say,
yeah,
insurers come up with lower tier options, but for consumers, our role is to understand this.
Yeah.
That absolute peace of mind is very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. True, and it may not be worth it. So talk to your financial advisor. Then financial advisor, insurance agent, your role is to understand all this too and explain to the consumers so that you do what is in their best interest.
But I have to ask you, because the rider portion, yes, it doesn't make sense if you use it only once.
Mm.
But let's say I use it twice that year, then you know, unfortunately, the more you get sick,
you do
the more,
two, three right? times. Yeah, you know. You go to hospital two, three times. You do two knee replacement, I mean, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
So, think for yourself. Do how often do I go to hospital?
Yeah. Okay.
And do I really want to go to private hospital? Yeah.
Right.
Because to private hospital, absolute peace of mind. That's the kind of premium I have.
But I still see. I'll tell you very honestly. Personally, I would like the option of having to be able to choose any hospital, any doctor, any medication, any drug. If I can afford it, I'll say I'm willing to pay for it. You know, I may not always use it. In fact, most of the time, I don't use it. So I'm not really contributing to the costs.
You are contributing to the premium cost.
Mm.
Mm. Because I can understand you want all this flexibility because it's called absolute peace of mind.
Yeah.
Right. But then as you get older, we'll tell you, the insurers tell you your premium is $10,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Just when you need it most. Then you have to think about whether that's really worth it.
Should we look at the hospitals then and try to have them regulated? So we were talking earlier about how doctors now have a certain benchmark fee. Mm. Should that be the same for hospitals too? Private hospitals? So that we don't have these. Because I had a colleague who went in recently, had some treatment done, minor surgery. She was charged $49 for one surgical gown, more than $20 each for surgical gloves, $18 for a kind of marker pen.
It's not public hospital, yeah?
No, in private hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was real.
Public hospital, we don't charge like that. There's a daily treatment fee that covers everything.
Shouldn't we do that for private hospitals too? Why can't we?
But they are private. So, but what we can do, and we intend to do this, is to benchmark.
Yeah.
So far, we did some benchmarking of surgeon fees that is quite effective.
Mm-hmm.
So now most of surgeon fees fall within the benchmark, range of the benchmark. So we will try to do two, come up with benchmarking for hospital charges as well. So I think that's one set of disciplines we can do.
Okay.
Yeah. Another set of discipline is there's just small minority of doctors that overcharge.
Right.
So you may read in the news, or actually you are the news, that we have started taking some action, enforcement action against them. We are doing education, as like now, putting out more information and explanation so that the public understand how insurance work. Yeah. We are expanding our public sector capacity so that for those who find it unaffordable to go to private hospital, despite the flexibility, there's always the fallback of public hospital, which provide very good healthcare, I think. Yeah. So these are some of the things that we are doing, but ultimately, the knot need to be untied by those who contributed to this whole bundle.
Which is everyone.
Everyone. Yeah. And I think there's a tendency when you're in this fix to blame each other. Yeah, whether you're doctors, insurance agent, insurers, government get blamed by everyone, right? Yeah, but I think it's to say, take a step back. Somehow we got ourselves into this. Let's untie this together. Everyone take a step.
This is going to be tough. Again, you're saying go to your insurance agent, talk to them, find out what works for you.
Mm.
Which insurance agent is going to sell you less versus more? You know what I mean? Right?
because 100,000 people now are telling their insurance agent, I'm going to drop my rider. So I think it's in the insurer's interest to say that, how about I offer you an alternative? Don't cover deductibles.
Mm.
If you go to hospital once every 2-3 years, it's more than worth it. the premium save is much more than the deductibles you have to pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which means the insurance companies now need to offer these products, which currently, I think, aren't really
there
on the market,
some.
Right?
Not everyone has. There are some. Okay. But I bet you the men in the street do not understand all this. Because to them, it's like my insurance agent, who's my friend, say, hey, don't worry about anything. I'll sell you this whole package.
Everything covered,
everything
right?
Everything covered. Yeah. You don't have to worry anymore. Okay. But then you start worrying about the premium going up. Because there's a price to it, and it's causing a distortion.
People who have all this coverage, if they then decide to go to a public hospital.
Yeah, actually it's true, no?
Yeah.
Our data show, having bought riders, 50% of patients in the end end up in public hospital, subsidized wards. Yeah. So I think they are buying for the flexibility. But when they fall sick, they go back to subsidized wards. Despite all you say about going to private hospital, I'm covered, I have flexibility, I can choose any doctor, any drug.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the end, they go back to public hospital.
But that's also because I can choose any doctor, because I know the guys in the public hospital have done this, you know, 500 times more than the other guy outside.
Yeah, which means you're actually not using your rider.
So I didn't have to buy one
in
the first
place. Yeah, you didn't have to buy one in the first place.
But is that option, knowing it?
It's that option that I have peace of mind, yeah. And so, it's expensive.
So you're saying the peace of mind comes with a price.
Quite
so now it's
price.
Sort of finding, how do we find a level of peace of mind which doesn't break the bank?
That's right. I think that's the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good things we all want, but it's coming at such a high price.
Okay. The other challenge is that with the cost of long-term care or medical care, it rises every year. It gets more expensive every year. We know that. And we don't know how much we're really going to need or how we're going to be. So how do I then plan for that? Again, it comes back to the I rather have more than less. Especially in our Asian culture, I'm always like, I want to be more prepared than underprepared.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
Government will do our best. Yeah, make sure we have the resources. When we need to raise taxes, we tell you so, because we need the tax revenue to expand the healthcare system. We implement policies, encourage people to be healthy. So we do our best to make sure healthcare needs are catered to. But communities, individuals, families has a big role to play. Actually, the fact is that we all still have very bad health habits. We don't have to deprive ourselves in order to live healthily. But there are actually very basic habits that we can adopt just to keep all the health risks at bay.
Yeah, prevention better than cure.
Go for regular health screening. That's always good. Many people actually, especially seniors, I met many of them who are reluctant to go for a health screening. He said, I'd rather not know.
Yeah.
But to know early is always better, because to know early is the sickness is not serious.
Well, you can fix a small problem versus a big problem much more easily.
Yeah.
But coming back to this question about the benchmarking for private hospitals, how are we going to try and not say force, but maybe regulate this space a bit more and persuade these private healthcare providers to, I mean, has the benchmark worked for the doctors? My impression
sort
is that
of.
It kind of has,
I think
right?
It has an impact.
So, so can we do the same thing for the hospitals? And
We would like to do, as we mentioned.
What's holding us back?
Just the sheer amount of work. Okay. Because every benchmarking exercise is a lot of consultation, a lot of data collection, a lot of communication. Yeah, so I think it may take a couple of years, but it's something we want to do. But I'm quite sure, even if we do that, the market is so complicated. You regulate here, you have benchmarking, the costs pop up somewhere else.
Okay.
Then we benchmark that, it pop up in the third place. So you're sort of chasing the tail all the time, right? Ultimately, it goes back to what I say. We need to correct the distortion.
And again, hospitals will say, what's the incentive for me? Because I'm making so much money now. Why would I want to make less? And by doing what you're doing, in a way, they are making less. So they'll have to find a way to make up for the shortfall somewhere else because they have shareholders and things like that.
Don't be greedy.
Do it for the good of the people. Ooh. I mean, I think...
No, it's true. Right? Everyone in the healthcare business, our first and foremost objective and mission is to care for our patients and improve their welfare. Of course, these are not charities. We have to do it in a financially sustainable way. And if you are a commercial company, you also have to deliver a return. Totally understandable. That's how commercial capitalism works. But it cannot be greedy. And because it's also leading to a situation where it's not sustainable.
Okay.
How can hospital bills go up at that rate, leading to premiums going up at that rate? And patients are wondering, what the heck is happening? I can't afford this anymore.
Right.
Right. And they are flocking to a public hospital.
And that is overloading the system there.
Well, we are still coping. It's okay, very busy.
But if it carries on this
way. But I think people will tell you that the private hospitals now is getting expensive and we're not competitive anymore, actually.
And it won't that naturally work out itself? Because if it's getting too expensive, I drop the rider. Then
it's supposed
while,
to, right?
The companies would think, well, I should sell a different product.
In a competitive market, you know, it's supposed to all work out. But unfortunately, healthcare is just so different. Everything I learned in economics... doesn't work here, you know. There's just so much distortion and you've got yourself tied in this big bundle, big knot.
Okay.
How are you going to untie it?
Okay, we know we have an aging population in Singapore. So how much of this issue is transitional, as in this period now? I mean, or is this going to get worse because we have more older people? And also because it seems, you were saying younger people are buying insurance, but we've discovered, and we asked some of our colleagues, many of them are not really getting the full insurance. They're getting less, saying, well, I probably won't use it anyway.
It's not unwise, no. It's not unwise because they also probably know they already have MediShield Life. Every Singaporean will have.
Yeah.
Every resident have. So the worst, even if you don't buy any private insurance, the worst is go to a public hospital.
Okay.
You subsidize and you can use your MediShield Life. Yeah. And that too, plus MediSave, covers, you know, like 9 out of 10 bills.
So would you say that is the new way to go to our young people, that they don't need to be getting private insurance?
We provide that, but decision is theirs.
Okay.
Decision is theirs. And we continue to ensure that our MediShield Life, our subsidy scheme, provide that assurance.
Can I ask you, what have you done for your kids?
My kids, I help them buy private insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm watching the cost. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't buy riders for them.
Ah.
Yeah. Myself, I have a rider. Okay. I bought when I was younger.
Yep.
At 50 plus now, my premium is almost $2,000, but I know it's going to escalate very quickly. I've spoken to my financial advisor to say I want to downgrade my rider to one that don't cover deductibles. I was told that insurance company don't have that.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's time for them to come up with that. Every insurance company ought to have lower tier riders so that people like me who now understand it's not quite worth it to buy generous riders so that I can downgrade. Or if not, I may get rid of my rider.
So that's also a key part. I think people need to have a better understanding of what it is exactly that they're paying for and buying.
And it's not easy to understand.
Because sometimes, we look at it. I mean, I got to admit, every year I meet my insurance agent, I'm like, okay, can you remind me again? What is this one for?
Yeah.
What am I covered for? You know?
We don't spend our life trying to understand our insurance package, right?
Any final words of advice to our listeners out there? Because again, many families in different situations, some have aging parents, young children, both at the same time. They're thinking, what should I do? What is then the right amount of insurance to get for me, and who should I trust?
In the end, we have to understand our own needs. Yeah. Understand that absolute peace of mind is very expensive. It's becoming more and more expensive. Talk to your financial advisor and buy insurance that cater to your needs. Yeah. And bear in mind, there are two safety nets. Okay. One safety net is what the government can provide through a public hospital subsidy and MediShield Life. The other safety net is what you can give yourself. If you are young, stay healthy.
Well, stay healthy is the cheapest overall, right?
It's the cheapest and the most cost-effective. Yeah, and it requires small sacrifices when you are young, but the payback when you're old is huge.
For the young people out there, so would you say that they can comfortably rely on what the government provides already? And only if they want a bit more, then they should look to private insurance.
If you really think you want the option of going to private hospital,
okay,
choose your doctor, use novel medicine that fewer people have used, not quite proven, but worked on some people and you want to try that, then consider private insurance.
But know what it is you're paying for.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, Minister, thank you for coming and sharing with us and helping us break down this issue. I'm sure there'll be a lot of thoughts and feedback on this podcast.
Yeah, I may have to come back.
You may have to come back. Maybe we'll We'll see if a lot of people ask questions, we'll bring you back to respond to the questions.
No, it's not easy to figure all this out.
But folks, if you know, if you've been watching this podcast and if it struck a chord with you, please let us know. We do value any feedback, questions you may have. Minister himself has said he's willing to come back if you have a lot of questions, so we can keep that in mind as well. But otherwise, this has been Deep Dive. Let me just give a shout out to my team and many of us in the room here: Tiffany Ang, Junani Johari, Joanne Chan, Ho Painting, Nat Fetovero, Alison Jenner, and video is by Hanida Amin. I'm Stephen Chia, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye for now.
Bye.